Kid Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody we didn't hate for long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. So, that was John Taylor Gatto as part of Richard Grove's interview with him. That was a gem, I would say. Fortunate to have that floating around. 5 hours. It really is the ultimate history lesson, as Richard titled it. That's hour one of the ultimate history lesson, a weekend with John Taylor Gatto. And so that we just played from the end of hour one, approximately 106.17 to 117.30 for anybody who's interested. But I said that I would mention some headlines that sort of demonstrate, and you know, speaking of compulsory education, the reason most of us can't see these things is because our ability, our cognitive faculties have been stamped out of us, engineered in many cases. You know, the folks who are smart, air quotes, are the people that John Taylor Gatto was talking about, you know, didn't have as much compulsory education and then voluntary education. It's interesting how in so many cases the voluntary stuff conspires against people in effort justification sort of fashion, and frequency illusion, or you know, the bandwagon effect, those kinds of things where everybody's doing it. If there was a problem, someone would say something. And by the way, I paid good money for this education. I've been paying for it for 20 or 30 years. So who are you to say otherwise? All those kinds of things. I get my identity from this profession that I'm in now. And so on and so on. Interesting how that works. All right. So, speaking of the headlines that I was going to mention that are, you know, headlines at the Atlantic. Not that I keep an eye on the Atlantic, but, you know, some of these are interesting, and a couple, I think, at least a couple, shine a light on the conflict that I'm talking about. The letter from Pike to Mazzini. Oh, my goodness, it's not a real letter, except what was outlined that we've known about since certainly before the Second World War, even before the First World War, this was published. This plan of three world wars, the first two have come to pass along the lines that the letter outlines, Pike to Mazzini, August 15, 1871. The third is shaping up. The ultimate clash of civilizations. Everyone's being drawn into it. These two sides, political Zionism versus political Islam. And even though the letter is not real, the most prophetic letter never written, apparently, we knew about it before Israel was a thing. This modern, what I would call counterfeit, because it's not Jacob's descendants, called Israel, before, you know, 1948, even though Herzl said in 1897 at the first Zionist Congress that he had created it. You don't see it now, and people would laugh, but in 30, 40, certainly 50 years, you'll see it. And what do you know? I think he said 30 or 40, but 50 years, nearly to the day. There it is. That's remarkable, don't you think? I mentioned on Monday that over the weekend, Turner Classic Movies, not Turner Classic Movies. I think so. They played Lawrence of Arabia, starring Peter O'Toole and Omar Sharif and all those guys. Before, Saudi Arabia came on to the scene to manage the other side of the conflict, the Wahhabi side of the conflict. Again, most people don't know what Wahhabism is, or Salafism, which they say is Wahhabism on tour. So any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. And I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations about, it's those radical Muslims. What do we know about that? What makes us so sure that we know what that means when, we've been fed sound bites? It sounds exactly like what I just mentioned. Speaking of compulsory education, so-called compulsory schooling, Bertrand Russell, Chapter 2, General Effects of Scientific Technique, page 65, the populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated. How do you know that, radical Muslims? Have you read Philip B. Haney's book, See Something, Say Nothing? You know about the Tablighi Jamaat Network, right? What is that? You know about Wahhabism, Salafism. You've heard on this broadcast the mention many times of the grant to Yale, for example, for Islamic studies. That's really not Islamic studies, it's Wahhabi studies. It's the same radical nonsense that, when we played the clip of John Taylor Gatto at the end of the last hour, there's an excerpt from Andrew Breitbart's Heritage Foundation talk. Same thing, same conversation. I can't put my finger on it immediately, what the excerpt is, so we'll forgo that. It's a 30-minute talk that he gave, but it was brilliant. A must listen. Same conversation, though. So it's interesting that we can't see these things that are laying around in plain sight because of the programming, yet we would deny it in most cases. It's just, that's all so fascinating. So the Atlantic headlines, before we get to this other stuff, speak to some of this. This is interesting. And the phone-based childhood now, the environment in which kids grow up today is hostile to human development, by Jonathan Haidt. That's number one trending. Last I looked, these could be different now, but last I looked, less than 24 hours ago, number two, Donald Trump is a national security risk. The GOP candidate should not be given intelligence briefings. And we heard at the same time, this is the WWE Raw Roundup, right? Didn't we get the notice this week that it's Biden and Trump that we were fed, that we're being fed? So that article by Tom Nichols, I think, correlates to this clash of civilizations that I'm talking about. This is interesting. Kate Lindsay's article, It's Just an App. America won't miss TikTok. I certainly won't. Speaking of self-medicating and dopamine feedback loops and things that you can do for, you're not supposed to do it driving down the road, but who's to say? That article is number four, or was it last check, trending on The Atlantic. Number five, the golden age of American Jews is ending. Oh, now we're getting into it. Anti-Semitism on the right and the left threatens to bring to a close an unprecedented period of safety and prosperity for Jewish Americans and demolish the liberal order they helped to establish. They helped establish by Franklin Foer. So that's interesting. Why are we all something Americans? And why are we always American second? You know, African Americans, even though, you know, for the Africans that go to Africa, the actual Africans don't care, and they basically say, you know what? Why don't you just go back to where you came from? You're American, right? Yeah, you're not African. That's what they say. If you don't know, you can look that up. It's humorous. But you know what? African Americans. How about we're just Americans? What about that? So that article is number five at last check, trending. And number 10, also part of this conflict, you know, the Donald Trump, the American Jews thing, and this article, I think, at a minimum, hint at this colliding of forces, fomented, engineered forces of political Zionism against political Islam. The last article, number 10, trending at The Atlantic, the secret, quotes, air quotes, the secret gospel, and a scandalous new episode in the life of Jesus. A Columbia historian said he'd discovered a sacred text with clues to Jesus' sexuality. Was it real? By Ariel Sabar. Anyway, there is an effort to create some visibility for a thing, and I would say frequency illusion to get us fighting. This is my speculation. All of which is to say, basically, that these things fold into the same discussion, America, Christian nation or not. You know, David Barton hasn't gone away. It's pretty interesting. Where does the money come from for this stuff? How many hundreds of thousands of artifacts has he collected now? Well, some of them are free. Yeah, but plenty of them are not. So it's all fascinating to me, you know, looking at the things, I've mentioned this before, looking at the things on YouTube, for example, the gun culture, the gun bro stuff. Brenda Herrera runs for Congress in Texas, and he looks like President Camacho, Terry Crews' character. Literally, I mean, you know, to compare the images, there is a striking resemblance. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, we're witnessing the creation of the American Mujahideen right before our very eyes. And then there's this countervailing force that we're told is coming across the border, and so you better get ready and all this kind of stuff. It's just fascinating. All of which is why I offer the prayer daily. Sometimes, you know, you need to do more than pray, sure, but, you know, I firmly believe the most powerful thing on earth that we can do is pray and appeal to the Lord God Almighty. That's my position. And I don't see myself deviating from that anytime soon. In other words, at all. You know, regardless of circumstances. Yeah, but what if, you know, somebody shows up and at gunpoint, this or that, well, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, paraphrasing, you know, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, our God is able to save us. But even if he doesn't, it doesn't change a thing. He's still God. So, anyway, I see this conflict all around me. Maybe it's Bader Meinhof playing tricks on me. I don't think so. So the stuff that I'm talking about, Dave in New York sent me some correspondence. I'll give you the most recent stuff. Let's see. And I'll just sort of unpack some of this stuff, I guess. In my response. So, apparently, let me just go back. Does it, you know, my first question, Dave asks, does it really matter to me if the U.S. was founded on Christian principles? I better pray about that. I'm just trying to survive the decline. Sure, we're all trying to survive the decline. Maybe it's a Romans 14 issue. You know, it's important, it's not important. The reason that it's important to me is the same reason that I mentioned about, you know, is the earth round or not? Is it a ball? Well, if what I advocate and how I live and what I condone tacitly or otherwise is in violation to what God has stated, then that's a problem, I think. That's why these things are important for me. But, you know, maybe it's a personal decision. Maybe it's a Christian liberty that other people aren't concerned. But, you know, Romans 14, the faith which you have is your own conviction. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So, continuing, Dave writes, I was actually interested in learning about errors in Bible translations from you guys who have studied it, but Earl somehow got on another topic. Maybe from something he heard you say or just harping on his main point. He does say that God told or directed or called him to do what he's doing. That's interesting. I mean, maybe. Possible. I would just let him talk out his points, then respond. That's what I do with him. It works for me. Dave says, well, that's what I was trying to do. He called in at the end of the broadcast and we were running short on time. Been a while now. What was it? Friday, February 9, I think. And so I was trying to compress that and get to the point. And once we did, you know, then obviously things unraveled fairly quickly. So then Dave says, share this with Chris and his site. Christian Heritage Fellowship records the truth about Jefferson's faith as a Bible-believing Christian. That's not true. That's a straw man. It's misdirection. His synopsis of the Bible on the moral teachings of Christ, he titled The Philosophy of Jesus. Yeah, that's commingling of terms. Anyway, Jefferson's grandson Randolph's account of the two manuscripts, et cetera, et cetera. So I presume this comes from Pastor Earl Wallace. It's interesting, you know, I'm encouraged to reach out to Pastor Wallace. I'm not going to do that. Chances are I might, you know, I still have the intention of sending a message and saying, hey, you're welcome anytime, but I'm not going to go out of my way to do this kind of stuff. Anyway, from this piece, whoever it comes from, the truth concerning the Jefferson Bible, the morals of Jesus, the morals of Jesus, the truths of the Bible. Even in this piece, Thomas Jefferson Randolph, Jefferson's grandson, says, of his, Thomas Jefferson's, peculiar religious opinions, his family know no more than the world. In other words, we're sort of mystified by Jefferson's peculiar religious opinions as well. Get into that a little bit in a minute. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Feel as their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, I want to spread the news that if it feels it's good getting used, boy, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
Welcome back. By the way, the book, Kevin Cruz's book, I didn't mention, alluded to it. The book in question, he's written a few books, but the one in question is One Nation Under God, How Corporate America Invented Christian America. It's an interesting intersection with the business plot. The broader implications, Philip Drew administrator and stuff like that. So back to this article, The Truth Concerning the Jefferson Bible, It tells the truth. Well, here's an interesting section. From all indications, Jefferson was initially motivated to write this work, his what became known, the Philosophy of Jesus of Nazareth, the Jefferson Bible, basically, for the Indians by a friend, Reverend William Bennett. Not long prior to penning this work, he received a letter from his friend, Edward Douse, who also sent a copy of a sermon preached in Scotland several years earlier that had been delivered by evangelical minister Reverend William Bennett. The title of the sermon was The Excellence of Christian Morality, a sermon preached before the society in Scotland for propagating Christian knowledge at their anniversary meeting Thursday, 6 June 1799. And you have to understand, by the way, if you heard the excerpt of John Taylor Gatto at the end of the first hour, recall that to mind. If you didn't, go back and listen to that. What John Taylor Gatto was describing about Calvin, John Calvin and Calvinism, and it was, he mentions Spinoza, and Spinoza's Tractatus Theologico, isn't it? He misstates it a little bit. Tractatus Theologico Politicus, I believe it is. Anyway, Calvin's work that he refers to, this is not unique to Calvin, and that's what he's, that's kind of the point that he's making. This idea, you know, the justified sinner and the rest are damned, you know, 19 to 1, the Pareto principle kind of, in a sense, at work here. This is not unique to Calvin, this idea. Jefferson, his father was an Anglican, whatchamacallit, and his kids were baptized Anglican, I believe. Had I been asked about the Anglican contingent, there is, you have to understand, you go back in our history and the nonconformists and other folks, I mean, the chemists were alchemists originally. And the nonconformists were the agitating force that would, they would be the plants, basically, the wolves in the sheepfold, as they are spreading the mind virus of rebellion against the established church order, if you will. So now we got to send people to the Americas, a plan of, you know, a couple hundred years, what Manly P. Hall wrote about, for example, you know, America, the secret destiny of America as the new Atlantis. How do you get people over there? Well, religious persecution is a good way, especially when you want to herd people toward open Satanism. That just sounds crazy. Well, it's been happening. If you have eyes to see and you can step back and see from about a 500-year perspective, looking backward at this point, you can see it pretty clearly. So the religious persecution was fomented and engineered. You get people coming over here, and you have to understand that most of the leading religious figures of the day that we remember today, we remember for a reason, because they were part of this plot. They served the plot one way or another. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Health Simple with Colorado Shilajit. Fact bit number one. What goes in must come out. Whatever we ingest, breathe in, or transfer by contact must be expelled. Expelled directly as burned calories, through perspiration, respiration, or expelled via urinary and gastric channels. Every element that is not properly used or removed by our bodies become toxins. And toxins, as we know, are causal to every disease and ailment. Toxins are what makes us subpar, unable to be at our best. Be your healthy best by cleansing your body of daily and deeply embedded toxins. Live stronger, and we hope live longer. Shilajit, legit Shilajit that is, like Colorado Shilajit, is perhaps the greatest homeopathic whole body remover of toxins made by Mother Earth.
Look for the Gold Mountain and Medical Symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Welcome back. So real quick, a lot of information. Maybe it doesn't seem like it, but it's a lot to keep track of, I think. So the what John Taylor Gatto mentions in this regard at about the 1:14, 1:15 minute mark, Baruch Spinoza's Tractatus Theologica Politicus, published in 1670, and then a minute on from there, he discusses John Calvin's Institutes of the Christian Religion, published in 1536. And so this is the backdrop of of our American founding, as you go back and you look at what's going on even further back than that, into, you know, basically as soon as we get the Gutenberg movable type printing press, it's off to the races. It's like a gun goes off, starter gun goes off, and it's off to the races. More on that later. Anyway, so there are those two things. Maybe we should be reading those instead of watching the players. And bite my tongue. Anyway. So, back to this excerpt. A sermon preached before the Society of Scotland for Propagating Christian Knowledge and at their anniversary meeting Thursday, June 6, 1799. So, after reading the sermon, Jefferson responded a couple of weeks later in a letter saying, "I must also add that though I concur with the author in considering the moral precepts of Jesus as more pure, the moral precepts as more pure, correct, and sublime than those of the ancient philosophers, yet I do not concur with him in the mode of proving it." So Jefferson doesn't concur with Jesus in the mode of proving it. Can you imagine? "He thinks it necessary to libel and decry the doctrines of the philosophers, but a man must be blinded indeed by prejudice who can deny them a great degree of merit. I give them their just due and yet maintain that the morality of Jesus as taught by himself and freed from the corruptions of latter times is far superior." Which is, I mean, from a Christian perspective, it's absurd. So Jefferson and Plato and Socrates and Epictetus and all these guys are on, you know, and Jesus, they're all on the same level. No, from a Christian perspective, maybe from, you know, if you're a theosophist, yeah, then absolutely. So it sounds like Jefferson is more a theosophist than anything at this point. So this piece continues. It says he continued noting that unorthodox Joseph Priestley, who died yesterday, wasn't it? Or no, he was born yesterday, I believe. Yeah, March 13, 1733. Noting that unorthodox Joseph Priestley had already written a comparison between Jesus and Socrates, and Jefferson had written to him and urged him to take up the subject on a broader scale. Joseph Priestley, not a Christian, influenced by Spinoza, talked about that before. John Taylor Gatto mentioned Spinoza. Most people have no idea who he is, but he was immensely influential through that period of enlightenment where the idea was to get free from God, the Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. If we could just separate the state from him, then we could finally get back to Genesis 11 and the new Atlantis and man becoming his own God. You know, the apotheosis of Washington, the apotheosis of man, that's what the American founding represents. That it was dressed up in God words, as Greg Fraser puts it, doesn't change a thing. It just, perhaps in Streisand effect, reveals an attempt to conceal this plan and beguile the general populace into supporting it. So here's this piece. Back to the responses. Let's see. Wallace has some very interesting points based on especially Old Testament scripture. Okay. Call him and ask for his theses. Nope, I won't be doing that. Like the role of Catholicism, WW, not sure what that is. But, you know, he's welcome to call in again, I guess. But we need to find a way to be civil. So the weaknesses of Catholics to be deceived. He harps on Catholicism. Many here harp on the Jews, presuming that means RBN. That doesn't happen on this broadcast. Undefined, many definitions. Indeed, I respond, it is not all the Jews, but some at best. I think Bill Cooper put it best, you know, the mystery schools, the New Atlantis. You know, but there is, I mean, the Kabbalistic influence is undeniable, and how things just get bent into that. And you have Romans 11:25 that factors in the partial hardening of the heart of Israel till the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. You have what happened, you know, after 70 AD, the destruction of the temple means the without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And now what? Then the oral tradition takes off from there. You put that together with hardness of heart. Where do you end up? So there's more to that story. Anyway, so he says, have Earl come on and flesh out his thesis. He's welcome to. He is Trump rich. Ask and you will find out how much. I find Trumpism to be a huge, obvious deception if you piece things together. Well, I talked about that before the 2016 election, so let's deal with things we have control over and pray about the rest. Yeah. So then, finally, there's this. Me and another listener find the Statue of Liberty symbol to be minor yet real. It is nitpicking on your part. Earl put it there because it speaks to people's ideas of liberty as a symbol. Well, maybe. I'm not sure I would use it. I respect his point of view as possible. You used a large amount of hearsay, not primary evidence, for a week, trying to prove your point. All right, well, none of this is firsthand to me, nor verifiable with certainty to me. The structure of the articles, Constitution, etc. are irrelevant. I should read those. Yeah, we all should. If there were not translation errors. Okay, so let's start with, it's nitpicking on my part. Is it really? I think you suffer, Dave, from lack of acknowledgement of context. The reason that the Statue of Liberty is of primary importance is because when Pastor Earl Wallace called in on Friday, February 9, he said, and we should probably just go back and play it at some point. He said, in his own words, he said, America was not founded on the concept of separation of church and state. Well, I beg to differ, but we'll set that aside. He said that phrase appears in the Bible, nor does it appear in the U.S. Constitution. He said God doesn't separate himself from the state. He either blesses or he judges nations, depending upon primarily how they honor Ten Commandments number 1 and 2. And then he went on to say, have no other God before me, that's number 1, and don't make any graven image or handcrafted image or of anything in the earth or on the earth or above heaven or any place else you can think of in your representation of worshiping me. Now, he also said that he's the founding pastor of Liberty Christian Fellowship Church. So as the founding pastor of Liberty Christian Fellowship Church, I would say that he has direct responsibility for and control of the logo, which obviously includes depiction of the Statue of Liberty and the seven rays crown. These are very esoteric symbols. The Statue of Libertas and the seven rays, and then the eternal flame. You know, this is Prometheus bringing knowledge to, you know, down from heaven to man. This is Genesis 3:5, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's what that represents. There is no sense was the Statue of Liberty and all of the symbolism dripping from it ever considered Christian? There's certainly nothing in the Bible to suggest that it's Christian. There's all kinds of stuff, including what Pastor Wallace said himself, to suggest otherwise. Don't do it. So the reason why it's directly and primarily relevant is because he himself said, when he called in, God judges, blesses or judges nations depending upon primarily how they honor Ten Commandments 1 and 2. Have no other gods before me, and don't make any graven image. And the irony is profound here. If I was writing a script for this for Hollywood, they would look at this and say, no way that happened. That's just too much of a mental leap. People would never believe it. Because the founding pastor calls in and says, make no graven image, or God will judge your nation, to use his words. Don't do that and he'll bless your nation. Do that and God will judge your nation. And yet this is the pastor who has arguably the largest idol in America represented in the logo of his church. That's why it's relevant. So it's not about the Statue of Liberty and nitpicking the Statue of Liberty. It's holding Pastor Wallace accountable to his own words. So is he saying that he wants God to judge America? Is that why he has the Statue of Liberty, the seven rays and the eternal torch in the logo of his church? Because if he doesn't want God to judge America, then by his own words, to have God bless America, he needs to take that stuff out immediately. Hopefully you understand why that's directly relevant. Back to Jefferson. So the question, is America a Christian nation? Was America founded as a Christian nation? This is a nuanced, you know, the answers are nuanced along with the question. The first question one must ask is who gets to define terms, which calls to mind my two-part question, who's in charge, who decides in all matters of life and faith? If the Lord God Almighty is defining terms, then the field of view and focus quickly narrows. If man, you know, persuaded by the devil, again, Genesis 3:5, defines terms, then he finds whomever or whatever he wants to find. Isn't that interesting? So I've mentioned a couple of these, but I'll give you another one. From Marilyn Mello's Frontline PBS piece, Thomas Jefferson and His Bible, she wrote, in short, Mr. Jefferson's Jesus modeled on the ideals of the Enlightenment thinkers of his day, which, by the way, again, were characteristically anti-Christian, bore a striking resemblance to Jefferson himself. In John Fea's 2016 article, Still Misleading America, about Thomas Jefferson, John Fea writes, David Barton's Jefferson looked more like a 21st century member of the Christian right, i.e. like Barton himself, than a product of the 18th century world in which he lived. Seems the apple didn't fall far from the tree, I would say. And last but not least, the other one that I mentioned a couple of times recently, Tim Challies, from his article, 10 Serious Problems with Jesus Calling. It can't be denied the Jesus of Sarah Young sounds suspiciously like a 21st century Western middle-aged woman. So this is what happens when we're looking with eyes to find what we want to find, rather than looking for the truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you will be my disciples and you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. People he's talking to say, we are sons of Abraham. Never been enslaved, never yet enslaved to anyone. How is it you say we will be made free? And if you don't understand the profound irony of what they said, then you need to go back and look at the history, the historical record, and where they are when they say that. Because we are as blind and misguided if we're not careful. And by the way, I would remind folks that, you know, Sun Tzu, all warfare is based on deception. Matthew 24:4, Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. And, you know, the first deception worked pretty well. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The apotheosis of man, there it is. Genesis 3, verse 5. So, I talked about Pastor Earl Wallace a little bit, Ten Commandments 1 and 2. And the Statue of Liberty, Eternal Flame, and your logo, it's prima facie evidence of the violation that you say. If you want the blessing, you don't put that in your logo. If you want judgment upon the land, then you take the largest idol that we have in America and you stick that in the logo of your church. Hopefully that makes sense. When it comes to the language that we see alluded to, there is the issue of what Greg Fraser calls God words. We played that yesterday. If you're not familiar, go back and look up what Yale Law School Dean Eugene Rostow said back in 1962, ceremonial deism. He said these words don't mean anything religiously. They have no particular Christian connotation because of what he called ceremonial deism. Look that up if you're not familiar. Jefferson was a chameleon. Honestly, is there any evidence anywhere Thomas Jefferson contended earnestly for the faith? Jude 1:3. Is there a profession of Christian faith by Thomas Jefferson anywhere to be found? That's a rhetorical question. Jefferson supported the French Revolution and its most radical anti-Christian revolutionaries. He admired the anti-Christian Enlightenment views of folks like Voltaire, Hume, Gibbon, Paine. These are all facts, by the way, since I'm accused of hearsay. These are all facts. This is not hearsay. I am asking questions, though, like if Jefferson was such a devout Christian, why did so many of his contemporaries consider him an atheist? That's another fact. An apostate heretic. Elias Boudinot and the American Bible Society is one great example. If you're not familiar, look it up. Why did he write to Dr. Thomas Cooper in 1822 saying the progress of Unitarianism, will ere long be the religion of the majority of from North and South, I have no doubt. A statement celebrated by the Unitarian Universalist community to this day, by the way. I think Jefferson's forecast has proven unsettlingly accurate, in my humble opinion. In his own words, in his letter to his nephew Peter Carr, what Christian would use the kind of language that Jefferson used? You know, when he goes on this, what I would call, well, you know, he says, read the Bible then as you would read Livy and Tacitus, or you know what, maybe I'll just read the whole thing real quick. You make up your own mind. From Jefferson's letter to his nephew Peter Carr, August 10, 1787. George Wythe is great. He says in this letter, by the way, that Lawrence Stern, he says, the writings of Stern particularly form the best course of morality that ever was written. Really? That's interesting. Now, we don't really have time to go through the whole thing. Maybe I'll come back to this later. But man was destined for society. His morality, therefore, was to be formed to this object. I wonder what Jacques Ellul would say about that. So he says, question with boldness, even the existence of God. Read the Bible then as you would read Livy or Tacitus. And, believing the facts which are within the ordinary course of nature, you will believe on the authority of the writer. as you do those of the same kind in Livian or Tacitus. Not, you know, whatever is not against the laws of nature, the facts in the Bible which contradict the laws of nature must be examined with more care and under a variety of faces. On and on he goes, and then he concludes by saying, keep your reason firmly on the watch in reading them all. He calls into question the book of Joshua and the miraculous. He says, if it ends, your reading ends in the belief that there is no God, well, you'll find incitements to virtue in the comfort and pleasantness you feel, etc., etc. If you find there is a God, well, then you'll be comforted by your belief of his aid and love. Your own reason is the only oracle given you by heaven. Really? Quite the authority Jefferson fancies himself. So he was a fan of Joseph Priestley, a fan of Lawrence Stern, influenced by Baruch Spinoza, a Weishaupt sympathizer, French revolutionary, you know, Illuminati supporter. And from his own Bible, the Jefferson Bible, you know, as Thomas Kidd put it, the Jefferson Bible is arguably the most controversial religious text in American history. Perhaps the other most obvious contender is Joseph Smith's Book of Mormon. Jefferson wrote in his letter to Adams, 1813, that he was extracting diamonds from a dunghill, considering the rest of the New Testament, the dunghill. If Donald Trump said that today, you know, I just made my own Bible and I extracted diamonds from the dunghill of the New Testament. So what? Jefferson thought Jesus was a great moral teacher, okay? So what? So did Satanist Helena Blavatsky. As do all the most recognized Satanists. The point is, they deny the deity of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's the central premise of the gospel, as did Thomas Jefferson. A good moral life does not get one to heaven. Read James 2:19, Romans 3:20, 1 Corinthians 1:29, 15:50, 53 and 54, 2 Corinthians 5:16, Galatians 2:16, Philippians 3:3, on and on. So he picked out the Sermon on the Mount, the Golden Rule. Those were the diamonds. But the dunghill was the virgin birth, the resurrection of Christ, and the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? What is the gospel of the kingdom? What does the Jefferson Bible omit? Jesus Christ is Messiah. If you were arguably going to cut and paste to evangelize the Indians, why remove reference to the Great Commission and the gospel itself? What does the Bible itself say about intentionally adding and removing Bible text? Revelation 22:18 and 19 and Deuteronomy 4:2. Those are facts. None of that is hearsay. And a great deal of what I just said was Jefferson drawing on his own work and his own words from his own letters. James, I apologize. I was long-winded. Folks, I hope it was informative, perhaps even edifying. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.